Well, good evening, young folks. Good evening, young folks. It's nice to be here and to meet with you. It's lovely to hear the singing. Absolutely lovely. And it just does your heart good. Now, I know there's sausages all up the stairs tonight. And I don't want to fall out with any of the women up there. So we're going to get this over right and quick. I got saved, young folk, some 40-odd years ago. And I didn't have an upbringing in the gospel at all. And at 16 years of age, I heard the gospel for the first time. Very first time. Came to a head knowledge of the truth. And that's the first time I came to realize that a soul to be saved. I didn't come under conviction. There's a difference. You can listen and listen and listen and even know. But when the Holy Spirit comes into your life in conviction, you'll respond. There's a big difference. And when I got saved, young folk, or when I got into that meeting at 16, that's the first time I heard it. And I never set foot in another meeting for 6 years. And in that 6 year period, I was married and with a child. And then one night a young man asked me along to a mission. And I didn't really want to go. I wasn't interested in missions or the gospel. I didn't really know what it was all about, really, bar what I'd learned 6 years ago in that old mission hall along the road. But I went to please him because this boy I knew had been saved, and he had been took a lot of drink, and all of a sudden his life was different. So I went to please him. And I sat like you're sitting tonight, just in another meeting. And it was in the Elam Church in Armagh. And it was on the 21st of February 1982. And as I sat and listened to the preaching of the gospel, I can't remember anything, really, in reflection to the message. But the messenger, as he proclaimed the message, though I wasn't taking it all in or can remember to this very night, he quoted a verse. And it was that verse that he quoted brought conviction on my soul. And that night of 22 years of age, I came just simply as I was and accepted Christ as my Savior. And the drink went, and the cigarettes went, and the cursing went, and all the old habits. And God made a new creation out of this sinner and stands before you tonight. And I would have to say I'm not perfect, but I thank God tonight I'm not what I used to be, because of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus in cleansing a sin-sick soul. I'm asking you a question tonight before we start. Are you saved? Are you sure this evening, if you were not to see tomorrow break daylight, that your soul would be in heaven? Because if you die without the Lord, you'll be lost in hell. When I got saved that night, I began to read the Bible for the very first time at 22 years of age. I began to pray, and I began to attend a house of worship on the Lord's Day where I never went to. The mind reading through the scriptures, young folk, and I was told by the man who led me to Christ, He says, son, if you're getting yourself a Bible, make sure you get yourself a Bible, but begin to read it, the New Testament. And I want to read and look at a wee portion tonight for 15-20 minutes in the Word of God and show you how it affected me and impacted me in my Christian walk. And may it be likewise with you tonight in the meeting. I hope you just haven't come for another meeting. I hope you enjoy your fellowship one way or the other. But I hope you have a longing in your heart that I want to meet with the Lord this evening. I want to meet with the Lord. Book of Acts chapter 8 is the individual I want to draw your attention to. And we're going to take a look really from the verse 26. And the denomination here has got a radio station and it's called Let the Bible Speak. And I think that's a tremendous name, title for it. For that's exactly what we're going to do tonight. I'm not going to be preaching to you, I'm just going to let the Bible speak. Because it's not me you need to hear. You need to hear what the Bible has got to say. I began to read about this man. It's affected me to this very day, over 40 years later. And he's a boy who has had a big influence in my life. He's a young man called Philip. You'll find him there in Acts chapter 6. You needn't turn to it. Just letting you know now where he is. You'll find him in Acts chapter 6 and you'll discover there that there had been a problem among the church or among the widows. And the problem was that the widows weren't being looked after, some of them. And therefore they began to murmur and complain. And because of this, they decided that they would choose out 7 men of honest report, full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, to look after the affairs at that time which had arisen, which had become a problem. And those 7 men are mentioned over there. I'm going to mention 2 of them just in passing because the rest of them are big, hard names to say. You can read them the night before you go to bed. But one of them's called Stephen. And the other boy's called Philip. And these 2 were chosen to be among the 7. Men full of faith. Men full of the Holy Ghost. And the first thing I learned about this man, Philip, was this, that he was different. And he was set aside for the Lord. And he wanted to do a work for God. He just didn't want to go to meetings. He wanted to seek out what God's purpose and plan was for his life, for the future. And he was chosen to be one of the 7, and they were put in that position to look after the affairs that had arisen at that time. When we go over into chapter 8, we discover him again over here, and we discover that, there's a problem has arose. Verse 1. It says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. That's the death of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. When Stephen died he was missed. You read about Stephen's preaching in chapter 7. You read about the stand that he took as he stood before a mob, as he stood before the multitude, and he stood up for the crown rights of King Jesus. And in doing so, he ended up losing his life. And Stephen had been stoned to death. Saul had been consenting unto that death. And we can see here that after Stephen's burial, Saul, he made havoc of the church, verse 3, entering into every house and healing men and women, committed them to prison. It wasn't an easy time. In fact, it was downright difficult. God's people were under heavy persecution. Under this boy called Saul. And he certainly had no time whatsoever for God's children. He had no time for God's message. He had no time for the Lord Jesus. He was full of religion, of course, but he had no time for the Lord. So we can see here that he began to persecute the church to the extent that they were scattered everywhere and went preaching the word. Now the Holy Ghost draws our attentions after the footsteps of one person. And the Bible tells us who that person is in verse 5. For it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. And without getting into all that's there in those few verses down to verse 7, he went in there with the proclamation of the gospel upon his lips. He didn't go to hide. The providence of God forced them to spread the gospel. It was the persecution that Saul brought to the church there at Jerusalem that scattered them throughout the regions. But the Spirit of God draws our attention to Philip. That's the person. It draws our attention to the place. He's in Samaria. It draws our attention to the preaching, for he's preaching Christ. And as he preaches Christ in Samaria, a great revival breaks out and many people are swept into the kingdom of God. God opened up the windows of heaven and poured out a blessing. And as this man preached the word of God, with the power of the Spirit of God working in and through him, now he had the privilege of leading many to the Lamb of God, he who bore away the sin of the world. And Philip seen that fledgling church come into existence. Men and women, boys and girls, born again of the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb. And he came and he started now to teach him and instruct them and encourage him in the things of God. For he not only wanted to see them saved, but what he wanted to see them was this. He wanted to see them grow in grace and in the love of the Lord. And this fellowship got very fond of Philip. And Philip got very fond of this fellowship. And there was a great communion between them. A great fellowship, a great friendship, a great bond that had come to take place amongst that fledgling church. But when we get to the verse 26, we discover that God had a plan and a purpose for his life. And what I want to do just for the next few minutes is to look at this passage of Scripture. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father, we thank thee for your word. Thank you for it on our laps tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the teachings and the lessons we can learn. Speak to hearts tonight in this meeting. In whatever fashion or form it's needed to be. And we'll be careful to give to thee all the praise and every bit of the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's turn to verse 26. You see, it was while Philip was at Samaria something happened. The Bible says in verse 26 these words, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Philip, arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, which is unto Gaza, which is desert. Now it was providence forced the hand of Philip to go into Samaria. But while he was there and seeing that great work done, we can see the hand of God coming through the ministry of the angels in directing him personally to the place where he wanted him to be. Keep in mind he's in the midst of revival. Keep in mind he's in the midst of a vast multitude of people who have come to a knowledge of the truth. And all of a sudden the angel of the Lord comes from heaven, this heavenly messenger from heaven, comes to Philip and he instructs him. He says, I want you to leave Samaria. I want you to go towards the south. Now, he never told him why he was going. He just told him in the direction that he wanted him to go. He never explained to him whom he was going to meet. He knew absolutely nothing. But what Philip did know was this, that this was the Lord leading, directing, and guiding his personal life in the way that God wanted him to go. And that's important for you young men or young women who are contemplating doing something for God. Be aware that it's the Lord leading. Be sure whatever you're going to do, that this is what the Lord has asked me to do. And I can see Philip at this particular time as he draws the fellowship together, and he has to tell them, and he must tell them, and he must have went and met them and says, look people, I have to leave. I'm sure they didn't want him to go. I'm sure they would have rather that he stayed because they'd grown so fond of him. And maybe some of them have actually tried to persuade him rather than go but to stay. But Philip knew in his heart that he must go. He mustn't act on feelings, what he's feeling in his heart, but he must act by faith according to the word of God in God's directive will in his life. And as the Lord asked him to go towards Samaria or go towards the south, towards Gaza, and to leave Samaria, we can see his response in verse 27, for it says that Philip arose and went. Now the question has got to be asked, why? Lord, are you sending him this way? Well, here's the answer. It says, and behold. When you see the wee word behold in the Bible, it means just to stop and take note. What are you and I to stop and take note of? Well, we are stopped to behold a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. I want you to see this man. I want you to see where he's from. I want you to see what he does. I want you to see where he's been. In verse 28 says that he was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Now just let me say this. Here is a man who had come a long journey. Here is a man who had come from Ethiopia. Here is a man who had worked under a girl called Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. In fact, he was her treasurer. It would seem to me that this man had to ask permission to make the journey. It would seem to me that he has changed his religion to Judaism. It would seem to me he's an honest, trustworthy man. He has requested time out, that he might make that journey to Jerusalem, that he might go to the temple in order that he might pray and worship. Now you and I can see here, with the time going, I'm keeping in time now, listen, you and I can see here that while he was in Ethiopia, he picked up, he bought, he purchased, he must have bought it, a portion of God's word. He didn't have the whole Bible like you have it on your lap tonight, for it hadn't yet been written. But what he had in his person, as he made his journey home, sitting on the chariot, he had the portion of scripture from Isaiah. Now, whether he had the whole book of Isaiah, I don't know. But one thing I do know, and one thing I'm sure of, he had Isaiah chapter 53 on his person. Now you and I know tonight here in this church in Martyrs Memorial that Isaiah chapter 53 speaks about the crucifixion. It speaks about the sufferings of the Savior. It speaks about a lamb being led to the slaughter. And if I was to ask you the question tonight, who is that prophet speaking about?
I would say 99% of you could give me an answer. And give me the right answer. But here was a man who had picked up a portion of the Word of God. He was sitting in his chariot. The Bible said that he was reading it. And can I go a wee step further and say this, young people, he was reading it audibly. That others could hear. And as he read the scriptures, and as he made his road home, and as he sat in the chariot along with the company that he had made the journey with, my Bible tells me in verse 29 that the Spirit of the Lord said unto Philip. See, Philip was coming in eyeshot of the chariot. In fact, he was some distance away, but he was a distance enough away that he could see the chariot in the distance. And the Spirit of the Lord came to Philip in verse 29, and the Spirit said to Philip, Philip, here's what I want you to do. I want you to join myself to that chariot. He pointed the chariot out. He not only pointed the chariot out, but he pointed the person in the chariot out. And what God was directing Philip to do was this. God was directing Philip away from a period of revival in order that he might go into a desert area, that he might come and meet, now listen to this, one individual. Just one. And my Bible tells me here that when the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Philip here in this specific passage, and the Spirit of the Lord instructed Philip to go near and to join himself to the chariot, how did Philip respond? Let me ask you a question this evening. How would you have responded? How would you have responded, or how would you respond maybe tomorrow when you go out into your workplace or wherever you are, or school, or wherever it might be, and all of a sudden the Lord gives you that desire to speak to someone about the Lord? How did Philip react? Well, verse 30 says Philip ran. See the wee word ran? You need to underline that in your Bible. I think that's the most important word in the passage. Philip, without any hesitation, without any question, without anything in his mind at all, he was totally obedient to the leading of the Lord, and he ran thither to him. You say to me, Everett, how do you know he read it audibly, that other people could hear it? Well, here's the answer. It says in verse 30, he ran thither to him. That's where God asked him to go. And as he ran to him, what did he hear? Well, he heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And then he opened up the conversation by saying these words. He says, do you understand what you're reading? And here's a man who's a very intelligent man, a trustworthy man, a truthful man, a religious man, a respectable man, and he's reading the Word of God. And as Philip comes to him and asks him a question, do you understand what you're reading? You see, I asked you the question, could you tell me who the prophet was speaking about? I said 99% of you could probably say yes. But did this man know? Well, let's see what it says, verse 28. Do you see what it says here? Verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him. He heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, he opened up the conversation. But I want to say this here this evening, because this is very important. See verse 31, it says, he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? Isn't that marvelous? Can you see the sovereign God at work? He spoke to the sinner, or he spoke to the saint in order that he might bring the saint to the sinner along the Gaza route. How can I accept some man to guide me? That's why Philip was there. And you'll see something else here, because it says he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, let me say this to you young folk this evening. Because there's many of you young folk maybe end up in the mission field. There's many of you young folk may end up somewhere serving the Lord. Listen, wherever the Lord asks you to go and whatever the Lord asks you to do, He'll not ask you to do something that He hasn't already prepared the way for. For this man was not only reading the Word of God, but he was ready to receive Him. And he invited him, come on up here into my chariot. Now, where were they reading from? Well, here's where they were reading from. Verse 32 and verse 33. And it says this, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. I'll tell you who he's reading about. He's reading about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus is the one who's going to be led as a lamb to the slaughter. And I want to tell you something, young folk. That's exactly what Christ done at Calvary. He's reading about the crucifixion. He's reading about the sufferings of the Savior. And as he's reading about the sufferings of the Savior, from Isaiah chapter 53, the eunuch answered him in verse 34. He answered Philip and he said to Philip, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Is he speaking of himself or is he speaking of some other man? Here's a man, listen, with the word of God, a religious, respectable man. A trustworthy man. A man who says his prayers. A man who reads his Bible. A man who doesn't do anybody any harm. Listen, but he doesn't know the Lord. Is that a picture of your life tonight? Are you like Philip tonight? Or are you like the eunuch tonight? Is this a picture of your life this evening? You've been brought up with the sound of the gospel for years. You've been brought up under the influence of a Sunday school teacher or a faithful children's worker or a faithful preacher in your church who has sought week by week to expound the unsearchable riches of Christ in the gospel. And you've maybe heard the word, you've read the word, you've even maybe prayed, but you've never trusted in the Lord as your Savior. He said to me, why could he not understand who it was speaking about? I'm going to give you the answer. The Bible says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in unto them. That's why. That's your answer. The Bible says in verse 35 exactly what Philip done. He was there for a reason. And he was there to expound this passage of Scripture and expound Christ and its teachings. And the Bible tells me that he did so. Because verse 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth. And what did he do? He began at the same Scripture, that Old Testament passage. And he preached unto him Jesus. I want to tell you what he preached unto him. That all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to our own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He preached the message of saving grace through the person and work of the Lord Jesus. And as he preached the message of Christ and him crucified, and all that the Lord had done for us as sinners at the place called Calvary, I want to tell you something. Not only did this man sit like you're sitting tonight in the Martyrs' Memorial and listen to the message of the gospel being proclaimed, but I want to go a wee step further. In this heart, he was enlightened. He seen, he recognized who the prophet was speaking about. And there sitting in the chariot in the quietness and in the stillness of his own heart, do you know what he did? He simply came and trusted the Lord Jesus as his own and personal Savior. And I want to say this, the Lord knew about it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I want to say this, Philip didn't know about it. You said to me, are you sure about that preacher? Yes, I am sure. And here's the reason why I am sure. You see what it says here in closing, in verse 36. It says in verse 35, Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. If Philip would have known that he'd have been saved, he wouldn't have had an if in the answer. And when Philip said to the man, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest, he answered and said, what? Here's his confession. I believe. What did he come to believe? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to tell you, the Spirit of God enlightened his heart to that saving knowledge of the truth. He was brought out of sin's darkness and set gloriously free. Thank God for the faithfulness of Philip. Thank God for the faithful preaching and proclamation of the gospel of saving grace. And through the preaching of Christ and Him crucified, this man was brought along that dusty highway, sitting in a chariot with the Word of God open on his knee. And he came and he put his trust in the Lord Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. With this we'll finish. He had asked, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, thou mayest. He says, I do believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see, his eyes were opened. His understanding was enlightened. He came out of sin's darkness into God's most marvelous light and was made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Last two verses, verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. This was an open show of an inward work of grace within the life of this individual who had come out of sin's darkness into God's most marvelous light. He was actually letting those around him know that he had now been to Jesus for the cleansing power. And he had been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now watch this, and with this we'll finish. Verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Why? Why did the Lord take him out of the road? Some people just say he disappeared. Why did the Lord take him out of the road? The Lord took him out of the road because the work was complete. Salvation's of the Lord. The work's complete. And he took Philip out of the road. And the Bible says, and when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. But where did the eunuch go? Well, he went on his way rejoicing. This was a day that changed his life forever. Through the preaching of Christ, by a faithful servant of the cross. And he never seen him on earth again. But tonight, he's with him in heaven. Dear sinner friend, you can go out these doors this evening and go up the Ravenhill Road rejoicing, knowing your sins forgiven. But you've got to get to the cross. For there on the cross, Jesus paid the ultimate price for our redemption. And he died for your sin. And he died for mine. And he took our sin and sorrows. He made them his very own. And he bore that burden to Calvary. And there he suffered. And he died alone. What does Jesus really mean to you? Do you just know him as a figure of history? Or do you know him as your Savior? Young Christian, maybe you're looking direction in your life in the way that you should go in the future. Leave yourself open to the leading of the Spirit of the Lord. And whatever direction the Spirit of the Lord leads you,
you trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. May God bless these thoughts to your heart in this meeting. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for your word. I've read it, I've preached it more times, but Lord, it comes as much afresh tonight as it did the day I read it the very first time. And Father, I pray if there are young people in this meeting tonight, like the eunuch, who are still not saved, that thou would give them the saving grace tonight, and that thou would liberate them from the power of sin and from the power of Satan and set them gloriously free. And for young men and young women who's seeking to know your purpose for their life, we pray that even tonight they might learn through the leading of Philip's life that they must trust in thee with all their heart and lean not unto their own understanding, but let us all in all our ways learn to acknowledge thee, believing that thou wilt direct our paths. I thank you for these young people. Bless them one and all, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody say, Amen.